Reading the book of Matthew. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father God, we ask you, Lord, to enlighten our eyes and our minds and our hearts with your word as we read chapter 26. Lord, we ask you to give us that special anointing, that love and that interest in your word, Lord God, that we may be revived, requenched, renewed, restored, and our ability enhanced, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this room and the listeners and anointing my voice for your glory and your honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we're going to be finishing the Matthew 26. I like to say the book of Matthew. I've been working on it for a while, reading one chapter at a time. Progress, not perfection, right? So here we go. This Matthew 26 concerns about the plot to crucify Jesus. Amen. Here we go to kill Jesus. In Matthew 26, a woman in verse 6 through 13 expresses her love for Jesus the best way she knows how. The disciples criticize her wastefulness, but Jesus commended her action. There will always be somebody who thinks we are foolish for expressing our gratitude to God, but we should continue to praise him because he is one of the who is working our recovery. He is the one, and it gives us a chance to tell others what God has done for us. God loves our praise. Amen. Thank you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26, chapter, verse 14 and 16, 20 and 25, Judas thought he could hide his dealings with the chief priest, but Jesus saw right through his false front. Jesus discreetly yet openly made Judas aware that he knew exactly what he was going on. Judas, however, passed up an opportunity to confess his actions and restore his relationship with Jesus. When we are confronted with our sins, we will do as Judas did and deny our involvement. Or we will use the chance to turn to God? Will we use the chance to turn toward God? Will we do as Judas did? That's a tough place to be in, to cop out and just say the truth. Just make a choice. In verses 26 to 28, through the Last Supper, Jesus communicated why he came to earth, to die on the cross. His bodily would be broken, his body, like the bread, so we could receive continuous spiritual substance. His blood, represented by the wine, was the eternal payment for our sins. When we acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of our lives, we become members of his body, forgiven because of his blood. There are no restrictions based on race, sex, occupation, or past failures. All who look to Jesus are forgiven through the blood he shed on the cross. Like Peter, we often go through stages as we give in to our weaknesses. First, we claim that we will never fall in a certain way. Then we do whatever we promised we wouldn't do. Next, we realize that we have failed miserably. From there, we have two options. We can work to overcome our weaknesses and learn from the experience, as Peter did, or we can wallow in our sins and never grow spiritually, as Judas did. I'm Fernando. I am sponsoring a doctor, holistic doctor right now, and he's in the area where regrets selling a piece of property in the mountains and other pieces of property and going through changes. And I get to tell them that in our weaknesses, there we are strong. If we say, I thank you, God, I messed that up. Yep, I'm grateful I messed it up. I thank you, God, I'm a misfit. And I thank you, God, that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, Savior and Master, Warrior. Amen. Then we have a chance to humble ourselves and then plunge right into the arms and the care of Jesus, his salvation. Through every problem we're facing right now, we can turn that problem that God is trying to get our attention. We say, yep, I'm a misfit in front of this problem. It's eating my lunch. I thank you, Jesus, that you are my Savior and my Lord. And I'm a misfit, Lord. I surrender. I relax and surrender. Jesus, you are my salvation. You are my master. And Jesus, you are my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my Redeemer, Lord. All work is done and put in your hands, Lord. Everything's accomplished. It is paid for. It is finished. It is all done, Lord. So we thank you for that love that you have for us, Lord. We just surrender ourselves to you. Amen. Let it go at that and see if that works. There was an incident that we didn't have a good running car, and we had to be up north to help some people move. And this was Friday. And we prayed like this. We just, Lord, we surrender. We put ourselves in your hands, and we know that we need to be up there by Tuesday, Lord. And we thank you for this situation, Lord, just the way it is. We just surrender and put ourselves into your hands. Amen. That was a 400-mile trip. Low on funds. Lo and behold, I get a call Friday night to help somebody move. I said, okay, that was on Saturday. So on Saturday, 4 in the morning, I'm headed the opposite direction into a different state. I'm going to Arizona with a buddy that I said yes to. And his dad is in the truck following us. And we're in a rental U-Haul. And, and we got over there early. We loaded up the truck and then came back the same day back to California. And then he was telling me that he's going up north. He just bought a house. So I said, hey, I asked him. I said, hey, if you have a chance, let me and Anna ride with you if you're going up there. He goes, oh, I got a full house. He goes, I'm taking my dad, my grandma, my mom, and we're all, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And then later on that night, he called me. He was loading some more stuff, and I went over there, and he tells me, my dad, my grandpa just went to the hospital. My mom and him will not be going. We have room for two. So the next morning on Sunday, Anna and I, and we went with him, and there was two vehicles. We went up for about 400 miles. Got to his place that night. He threw me the keys to his regular car. I went to Anna's place. We took to her mom's place. We dropped off. We stood there overnight. I washed the car thoroughly, and I took it back the next morning, dropped it off. Actually, I did the work we needed to do on Tuesday, help move the people, and I hung on to the man's car. And then when I was done, I took his car back. We had accomplished what we came for. And I remember sitting on the breakfast table and telling Anna, look, can you believe it? We're here. We prayed on Friday. We surrendered on Friday. And here we are where we ask Jesus with no cost to us. We're here. God made it possible. And that was exciting. So guys, just put your hands in the hands of Jesus. He's our Savior. Save you from your bills, save you from your own choices and mistakes, put you in the right place. You know, that is an action of us praying and putting ourselves in God's hands. It's an action. And God looks, our Father looks at that action. And in Jesus' name, we put ourselves into the hands of Jesus. Let it be, Lord. So we're exercising constantly our faith in this manner. I thank you, God. I'm a misfit. I messed it up. You know, if I would have saved from high school and invested in stocks, royalty, and done the things and stood to that certificate and that career, I wouldn't be in this position, Lord. Yes, I agree. I'm a misfit. I messed up. Lord, I need another vehicle, Lord. We just surrender to you, Lord God. Need another newer vehicle, Lord God, that will run efficiently, with nothing missing, nothing broken. We thank you for the principle of a vehicle to go from point A to point B, Lord. And we thank you for the luxury and the effectiveness of that in Jesus' name. Have thy way, Lord. We surrender, Lord. We cannot do it. Amen. All right, I hope I convey the idea to you that in surrendering is our treasures in Jesus. We tap into our benefits. And the best way, like right here, Peter says, that he said, I won't fail you, Lord. And in his weakness, he failed. And then, how did he we can work to overcome our weaknesses and learn from the experience, as Peter did. Or we can wallow in our sins and never grow spiritually. We can be resentful. We can criticize, condemn, and complain. We cannot forget the hurt. We're not forgiving our brother, like the Bible says. So we can work to overcome our weaknesses and learn from our experiences. So this is what we learn. We say, thank you, God, I was weak. I am weak. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for you. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Lord above. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Lord above. Give thanks. The song will come to me. I'm trying to read the Bible here. All right, let's go ahead and start from the top. Verse, chapter 26, verse 1. Here we go. The plot to kill Jesus. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At the same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to kill Jesus, how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to be prepared my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went out to the leading priests and asked, how much would you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you? As you go into the city, he told them, you will see a certain man. Tell him, the teacher says, my time has come and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house. So disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? He replied, one of you who had just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scripture declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. Judas, the one who worried would betray him, also asked, Rabbi, am I the one? And Jesus told him, you have said it. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as the sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. On the way, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scripture says, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Jesus declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. No, persisted Peter. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all of the other disciples vow the same. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want to do your will. Your will be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep, have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. So Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describes what must happen now? Then Jesus said to the crowd, am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this has all happened to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures. At this point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and the elders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. Even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "You have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power of God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Blasphemy! Why do we need another witness? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they shouted. "He deserves to die." Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?" Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell you by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I am lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.